Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. We are excited about joining you here today, and also this I guess on the Gulf Coast as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, the heat. There's nothing like a nice, thick, just humidity. Of course, it's not Houston.
Yeah.
Oh. A big shout out to all of our Houston listeners out there. I'll never forget when Donna and I, actually, Donna woke us up a little bit earlier. We came in from Dallas, and we were going to stay there with our friend, and she gave us her house, and just beautiful. We're staying with Barbara there, and so okay, we're going to get at least an hour's sleep, a couple hours sleep, because Donna said we needed to be up at a certain time to be at the Houston airport, which is I forget the name of it, but it's Houston, and we're riding. We arrive at the airport after an 1 hour sleep, and we get there, and we're the only ones besides the bus driver, the trolley driver that drives you there. And of course, you know, Donna was a little disappointed. I didn't see a thing. We were sitting across from each other. You're riding on those trolleys, you know, going in, and the bus driver's looking at us going like, the aircraft's not even here yet. You know, we got there so early. But as soon as we got into the atmosphere of Houston, it was just humid. Mm. I mean, it was very humid. I'm like, man, I have a deeper compassion for the folks in Houston. And I know that K-Char Bradford, you know, she's down the school system there and beautiful lady and also a pastor. She said she was in her master's class, and she said that the instructor told her that he says, you think it's hot out there. He said, you think it's hot in hell or hot out there? Wait till you go to hell. He's talking about hell's hotter. Compare the heat right. from... And he's talking about you need to repent and you need to get saved because you think this is hot, hell's hot. And I thought, what a great public school professor teaching master's class. Isn't that wonderful?
Very good.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so she just says you just run from air-conditioned building to air-conditioned car, from air-conditioned building. We can relate to that probably on the Gulf Coast. And by the way, big shout-out to all of our New York viewers and listeners. It's just as hot up there. It's hotter, I think, in the city because you got this concrete, this baking.
Like a sauna.
You just look for a piece of grass just to kind of stand there so that the radiation of the hot concrete and everything that ever touched that concrete comes off. Other than that, you know, I just thank God for the sun. What am I complaining today? Dear Lord, forgive me. I mean, we got global warming going on here, right?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. We're going to be talking about that today because we are having a little technical difficulty here. Oh, it's back.
We're good.
They are talking, as we speak, Alinsky 101, Rules for Radicals, about our nation. And it's like, oh, my goodness, it's kicking into overdrive. Here it goes. Mm-hmm. The next 2 years will be intense focus on the particular rule for radical that we'll be talking about. But Saul Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, our president. He wasn't president then, but he was mentored by Saul Alinsky, and so was Hillary Clinton. And... obviously, they're not biological brothers and sisters, but this is what Revelation chapter 2 says, and it's what Jesus said in regards to talking about the Pharisees, and it's what Paul said in regards to his spiritual sons and all, that we're related by taking on the mindsets and the spirits of those who mentor us and train us. And, you know, Paul said, my spirit's with you. And when the Lord's with you, you already know what you need to do when you get everybody together. And so... So when I say that, and we have a whole series on this, we'll be talking about it for some time, it looks like, but you can speed up the process by going to listen to the prophecy, and it's called Organizers of the Day, Organizers of the Night versus Organizers of the Day, Organizer of the Day. And one of the rules for radicals in his book that he writes about, and he has 13 rules, but one rule is Alinsky writes in his book, remember, once you organize people, around global warming.
Hmm.
Nah, well, that's what he said. Remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution. And we'll talk about that because I was an organizer. Somebody came into our church, and a church that loves God. God moved mightily in this church. But they came in and used our compassion, wanting to do something in the community, wanting to do something nice for the people. But they were looking for something that we agreed upon, something that was a common thing that everybody can join in on. Mm-hmm. But what God revealed, and I know this firsthand, I don't know this because I read Saul Alinsky. I know this because I was invited into the round table circle in Applegate, California. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of creepy. Anyway, so and so they begin to organize you around something that you care about. You know, here's somebody, we want to organize around this particular cause, and everybody agrees on it. It's important to find some issue that everybody agrees upon. And then you get them moving because they've never moved before, basically, and now you got them all organized and how to function. And he says this, and I didn't know about Rules for Radicals. I didn't know about any of this. This was revealed to me by the Lord in the last 2 years. But when mm-hmm. I'm crying out and screaming at the TV going, what are we doing? What's going on? And the Lord said, Lord, just let me know. And I had a wide open heart and mind, and we learned it. You can learn it with us. You know, what are these 13 rules? And what I found out in that process is that our president he was mentored by Saul Alinsky, and he taught the process. The Chicago Tribune reports in the back cover of this book, Rules for Radicals, for 4 years, I believe it is, mm-hmm. Allegedly. And Hillary Clinton was in a church, reportedly, you know, just going to church as a young person in youth or something of that nature. And Saul went in and Saul Alinsky, go figure, Saul, right? Mm-hmm. Saul Alinsky went in and organized, began to mentor her and speak into her life. And she did a paper. I mean, he wanted her to do like President Barack Obama, but then understand he wasn't President Barack Obama. He was Barack Obama. And he was organizing the communities. And you heard when they were running for offices, they're talking about community organizers. And by the way, community organizer, just the concept, it has no negative connotations at all. I mean, you have to organize people to do something. The question is, what is your motives? What are you doing? And what is your outcome? Well, Saul Alinsky, his methodology is, we'll talk about that today, but reports are that Hillary Clinton said, no, I don't want to do that, but I will do this. And she wrote a book. She wrote her thesis, right? Mm-hmm. Her thesis at the university, she wrote on the whole, reportedly, mm-hmm. the Alinsky tactics and Rules for Radicals. And
it's sealed.
It's sealed, mm-hmm. by the way. Think about this. I mean, every secret that we know to man is out. But Hillary Clinton's paper, you know, is not out. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't want my papers coming out. It's like, man, subject verb agreement. And obviously you read a book. You listened to the movie, you watched the movie, you didn't read the book. And what were you thinking? I had some, you know, my years in law enforcement. Think about it, you're writing all the time. You're mm-hmm. writing all the time. And I always said, we're just chronological historians that tragedy happens and they call a deputy out or a police officer out. And, you know, fights only last for a few seconds. They last long. With mm-hmm. Pat and me, they last. If somebody's fighting us, it's like, they just kind of push us over and it's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Or like that one comedian said, he said, if somebody was torturing him, he says, I'm going to cut your ear off if you don't tell me something. He says, I believe you. What do you want to know? Anyway, and so we would just show up and we would write everything. And then you wrote it at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're thinking about wanting to get off and same thing everybody else thinks. And mm-hmm. you're cranking it out. Perpetrator entered from the northeast quadrant of the back door. You know, I wrote differently. He snuck in. He was going across the street. He passed a full box of matches.
He's writing novels.
Lit them. I'm serious. This is a report. He lit them one at a time to see his way around the school office to be able to work his way back to the children's room where he found where they stored their change. I mean, really, I did. And he stole the children's money that they saved up for this period of time. And that's what, you know, juries like that versus like the perpetrator entered from the front door of the school, moved to the northeast quadrant of the back room, number 12, and took some change. I mean, the jury needs to hear something like that. Mm. He went down. Anyway, so the jury's looking at him like, I can't believe you stole those children.
You dirtbag.
And I never knew matches could be so bad.
Yeah, right.
He used them for light. Anyway, so that, thank you. So that in regards to writing, that, you know, not wanting to see stuff written, I had to sit on witness stands in front of juries of your peers, in front of judges who you highly respect, in front of, you know, people whose lives weighed in the balance in this whole thing, and victims and TV cameras at time or whatever. And they would read my reports. And just like you guys, they go like, now, what is this?
Can you interpret this?
I'm like, I look at it. I mean, here you get the whole courtroom looking at you going like, I ain't got a clue what that word is. I don't know. Let him go.
Right.
If we could end this humility right now, I'm going to just let this thing go. And that's when I learned how to type.
Although that's pretty interesting.
That's interesting itself.
That was before texting.
So you have
texting.
To ask, is this Hebrew or Greek? What is this? What is this?
It's so funny, you know, you catch a mistake and what, you know, quick little text or something, and you think, oh my goodness, that's terrible, but you don't realize you had 500.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I don't speak in syntaxes without reviewing them. Pat and I had an occurrence like that. That's not good for me. It's like, Southern country dude, learn how to type. You cannot talk into Siri. It doesn't work out right. Honestly, I did not type. I did not say that.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't me, but I was shocked. It was so funny. Don and I were riding on the road, and I talked into it. And I just pushed send because it was storming. I didn't want to text and type or anything
right.
like that. Or drive and text. And so I looked at it. Maybe you replied to me and like,
what?
Okay. I think I'll read this thing. One. And we started laughing, driving on the road with lightning popping around our head. So
I said, I think I'm offended right now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Right. That's always a good, oh, that must have been Siri.
Yeah. I had one
disclaimer.
Et cetera. But so I can see where you want things sealed. You know, please seal my arrest reports. I was tired. You had to write through carbon copies of that day. We didn't have report takers. We were the report taker. Mm. And I could see that. But after all these years, I mean, after Benghazi, after all of that, you know, after living a whole life, we still can't release this particular term paper. Don't you want to know? Wow. I mean, it's not like anybody cares. Anyway, have you noticed? It doesn't matter how bad people are right now in this society. This is definitely the time, you know, just to say, I am bad. Because people go, cool, let's move on. Mm. I'm doing evil things. Oh, great. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Hey, I'm fundamentally transforming America from a godly country to an ungodly one. Oh, great. Let's have a cappuccino.
Yeah, sure.
Let's have a cappuccino. And by the way, don't bring guns to the Starbucks, because that is a new thing, despite your something amendments, the Second Amendment rights. We have a lot to talk about. And also, I want to be able to talk about Sergeant Andrew. I mean, my heart is just broken for this Marine. And if you think about this Marine in the context of you and our lives, me and... we're missing it. You have to understand, he just came from war. He went and just fought war for us. He fought for our rights and defended our constitutional rights. And so you're in a different mindset. You're not in this, you know, Starbucks, you know, think about me mindset. You're trying to integrate your life back into society again. You're trying to unwar your brain. And so we're going to actually hear from him when he's talking to his mother, and she was able to three-way him in and to hear his voice, and it just makes you want to run and go rescue him. And you're going to understand that because of the reason why he's thinking that way is because that's the way it is in war.
Yeah.
And we'll be back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Abortion laws are on the forefront, but what should we do about adoption laws? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
With with all the abortion issues coming back into the courts, is now the time to press our state representatives to create new adoption laws to simplify that process?
No doubt about it. I think that is, number one, it's a necessary aspect of the pro-life cause, and that is to support the easy adoption of children that need homes. And that's the alternative that we want to make available. So the answer, yes, Jim, is it's time to go to your state legislature. That's exactly correct. And press for adoption laws that make it easy for parents to adopt children and to give these children a home. And that is a part of the overall pro-life perspective that we need to be advocating. And I'm actually quite encouraged that we're getting laws moving in the right direction.
The ACLJ is committed to the sanctity of human life. Learn more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which at least 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to move quickly here and talking about what's going on right now. CBN News is reporting about this new carbon thing. They're talking about, you know, a war on carbon, which means basically this, a war on how you get your electricity in your house. Mm-hmm. When you hear war on carbon and all these other scenarios that we're talking about, you know, the Alinsky, the Rules for Radicals kind of concept, it works really well with folks. It's amazing. And that's why I remember Paul said, I refuse to use anything enticing, any kind of fancy speeches, because all I want you to know is Jesus Christ and the power of God. And we can't manipulate folks as Christians. We just have to let them make decisions that they make. But you cannot do that, because they'll put their faith in you and not God, and you can't save them in the end. You don't have a throne of judgment. God does. And so what does this mean? Think about this. What does this mean? I want to encourage you. This is so going to make sense to you, because we prophesied about this. Or I prophesied about this October 1st, 2013, as I began to cry out, you know, what does all this mean right here? First, let's listen to the report from CBN, or watch it on from CBN.
Aaron, the president's ambitious $8 billion plan to cut pollution from power plants will likely take an enormous toll on American workers and anyone who pays an electric bill. That's the charge from the GOP and industry groups. The president is dismissing the economic concerns and says health savings will offset the costs. Heather Sells has the latest.
Power plants have already reduced their carbon emissions nearly 13% since 2005, but the president's plan will force another 17% by the year 2030.
This is about protecting our health, and it is about protecting our homes.
Critics say, however, that the president's plan will kill jobs. They're concerned that many businesses that rely on coal as a power source will no longer be able to afford it, thanks to the new regulations.
Any way you look at it, hundreds of thousands of Americans are going to be out of work. This is during a time where the economy is very, very weak to start with.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says the new plan will lead to the loss of 224,000 jobs each year for the next 16 years. The annual cost to the U.S. economy, $51 billion.
Environmental regulations that are coming into effect will retire 60% of today's coal fleet.
This Kentucky business buys and sells mining equipment. If power plants aren't using as much coal, the mines won't need as much equipment, and DGI Trading may leave Kentucky.
It's sort of real-life scenario that if mining became that bad on this part of the United States, then absolutely, it could be necessary for us to relocate our business.
And because 40% of the nation's electricity comes from coal, higher electricity costs are expected, which will hurt consumers as well.
Within a five-year period after it goes into effect, in many states, you'll have a double-digit increase in electricity prices.
The plan serves as the centerpiece of the president's efforts to deal with climate change, but its future is uncertain. It must survive legal and other challenges, and scrapping it could be possible if Republicans take the Senate in November. Heather Sell, CBN News.
Well, this is amazing. You think, well, what's the big deal about this? Well, the big deal about it, this is what he said. First of all, they said that this has been his plan all along. He said that more than likely that power prices would double, that they're saying it's going to cost us 224,000 jobs a year for 16 years, that our power rates are going to go up by double digits, and the cost is going to be $51 billion at a time that we're borrowing any increase from another country. And Jesus, this is a biblical perspective. Jesus said that you're a slave to whoever the lender is. And so we're enslaving ourselves to, I don't know about what percentage of the dollar now is borrowed, but it's a huge high percent.
46 cents out of every dollar is being borrowed.
46 cents out of every dollar, the reports are. I want to encourage you, first of all, don't forget right now, you need to subscribe to The Torch. You can do that by texting right now. The letters VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You got to stay informed. This puppy's cranking up, and we have to wake up and get informed. We have to think and pray and watch so that this nation doesn't fall and that we don't go into captivity. Understand, this is just a strategy right now in regards to it's an Alinsky methodology, organizing it around something that, who doesn't want our coal miners not to have to suffer from the mining of coal? We had a chance recently to meet somebody from, I believe, the West Virginia mines. And yes, but it's a job choice. And there's a song that came out from a coal miner, and I don't know the name of the song, but I'd love to have it. But he says, that's how I keep food on my plate, on my family's plate. That's how I take care of my family. It's right. It's a beautiful song. Hopefully we'll find that thing. Let's find that thing. And he's a Marine that came back and wrote this song. It was beautiful. And he was the song gives us an understanding from a coal mine family. He's like, you're talking about taking my job. You're not talking. And you're actually charging your iPhone on the electricity that my job generated for you. Just so you understand how your power company works. They burn coal, who actually creates heat, who makes steam, who turns turbines, who creates energy, who goes down those lines, who comes into your iPhone. That's how it actually works.
Yeah.
And when you saw Hurricane Sandy hit New York, they realized, oh, this is how power is made. Their biggest concern was, where do I charge my phone? By the coal mines, by burning coal. And so, but the thing about it is, forget about all that. You know, who doesn't want clean air? Of course we want clean air. Remember, that's the Alinsky methodology. Find something that people agree on, organize them, and it's a small step there to begin to jump right into organizing the political pollution and the Pentagon pollution, which, in other words, the power and the state. And so you just got to get people moving in a particular direction. But you got to hear this. I want you to hear this. This is from October the 1st, 2013, because we walked this thing out and God revealed this to me. You know, what is this? What does this mean? And what is, okay, that's the dark perspective. What is the light perspective? What does God say about it? Listen up.
Are we being organized? It's looking like the answer is we're leaning towards, I'm leaning just a little bit towards, yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit towards yeah. The answer, by the way, is not rolling over and going to sleep right now or closing your eyes or turning on a movie so you can get your mind away from this. The answer is waking up, repenting, and being the light that God's called us to be. But also, as we enter in, this is going to just ring a huge bell. So you have to begin to open society, right? So we're seeing that's part of Saul Alinsky's operating manual, Rules for Radicals, right?
Right.
The polarization, that's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's like, and I don't, I wouldn't, you know, he, like me, and like Marshall Gantz, the president was a community organizer, but it seems like he's still organizing. Organizing is not wrong, unless we're using tips from Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And, which Saul Alinsky's book starts with, but also now it's like one more thing he talks about in his book, Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky writes, he says, remember, once you organize around something as common, something as commonly agreed upon as pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Once you organize, this is Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals talking about how to organize. Remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then organized people will begin to move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to the Pentagon pollution. And it's like, they're even talking about global warming. They're actually saying we're polluting the atmosphere. It's like, this is not even a secret. This is like, this is a book you can get from Amazon.com and you can read. I was reading it last night. It's like, they just didn't use the word global. It's like, what is this global warming stuff? And so people are arguing about, they're polarizing themselves. Like they're buying into the whole concept. They're being polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And you're arguing with the ones they wanted you to argue with instead of saying, did you just try to polarize me? Are we talking about the icebergs melting and stuff? You know what I'm saying? What happened here? And this is what he says in Saul Alinsky's book in Rules for Radicals. He says, remember, once you organize people around something as common, as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution and to Pentagon pollution. In other words, you can organize the government.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that our president, one of his first things he went to do was to go sign. He was going to go to Denmark, I believe it was Denmark. I can't think about the country that it was right now. And sign in the United Nations in regards to, let's go to this global warming. Let's begin to deal with this global warming. Let's start saying, let's polarize people based on the fact that there's this pollution issue. We'll get the whole world buying behind this and start charging carbon tax to people. And it's really just some whole concept put out there, and it's like, okay, now we've created, or we got people organized around the green movement, you know, and we got light bulbs that you can't burn anymore, and it's just this whole concept. And so it's like, okay, people can organize around that. But then he says from there, it's a short and natural step to deal with political pollution and Pentagon pollution. Let me add to that Christian pollution and Jewish pollution. Right now, as we speak, this last week, I believe it was this week, a pastor was preaching revival in Louisiana, and somebody walks in and shoots him dead. Dead.
Wow.
Don't know all the details? Dead. There's video of people walking up and so much hatred in their heart. They said, all I want to do is destroy you and remove you from this nation. I want to remove everything to do with the church and anything with the Bible and anything from just, and you have to understand that if you buy into this polarization, instead of humbling yourself before God as a Christian and repenting from our wicked ways and seeking the Lord and responding the way Jehoshaphat did and positioning ourselves to receive, to be able to come against this vast army, then you're looking at, you know, great times of trials and difficulties.
Right.
We're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
We are being organized in a simple little book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is being used like a playbook. I mean, whether they're using it or not, it's like they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But being a community organizer, being hiring Marshall Gantz as part of your political campaign as the one who quotes from a book, Rules for Radicals, that was openly dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning of it, or at least talked about, tips from Lucifer, I think, hey, we got to pay attention. This is a polarization happening between God and Satan, darkness and light. And guess what? Light is greater than darkness. It's time for us to wake up.
This is so important. That was a prophetic word that God had given about a discernment. It's October 1st, 2013. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My name is Rodney Hart Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. Your nation is counting on you. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. Celebrate America is July the 1st through the 19th, nightly meeting at 7 p.m., and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it. Is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation, and I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, and put it on your desk at work and. You know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, it's a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is amazing. We're looking at a, you know, you just hate to use these terminology. It's amazing. Everything you say, I will never say that. And it's like, I'll say whatever God tells me to say. That's just what it boils down to, what leads me to say, what I believe he's leading me to say. And what he's showing me. And I did cry out for a long time because I looked for quite some time. I watched Fox News like everybody else. And I watched CNN and MSNBC and ABC News and all that stuff. And I watched it. And I was noticing how we're just going off the edge. And it's like, there is no more common sense that what's happening here. Are you really? There used to be such a respect for those positions because they knew they had the ear of the nation. Right. And all of a sudden, it was like they were hijacked. And they're agenda-driven, including conservative agendas, including liberal agendas. And it's like, what happened just to the truth? And letting people use their own brains and their own relationships to figure out, you know, let us decide at the coffee shop when we talk, just tell us the truth. And it's like, people are telling you their opinion versus that. And so I'm wondering, I'm like, is it over? I mean, is it over? Is America, because most nations don't last past 200 years or some constitutions and that type of thing. But we have the oldest, longest living constitution, I believe the reports are, in the history of the world, other than Israel, in regards to how long that we've lasted. So for it to change would just be a standard historical thing. I think 200 years or 210 or something, whatever it is, 230 years maybe. But and things that we're doing is exactly what happens when the culture ends and reboots again. But so I was, what's going on? And I was thinking, don't you care? I mean, you live in the nation. Don't you care what's going on? I know you're talking about what you're talking. You have your, you're supporting somebody politically, obviously, what you're doing. But don't you care about the outcome? Don't you care what happens to our soldiers? Don't you care what happens to America? Don't you care that our money's not going to be worth anything? Don't you care that our economy crashes? Don't you care about everybody that worked so hard and the retirement's about to be lost? Don't you care about that you're going to anger a nation and raise up a nation that may have uprisings because of what you're doing? And then I began to wonder, what's going on? And then Lord revealed to me progressively as I was seeking him was, this is very simple. It is a methodology which is written about in, I believe, maybe the 60s or 70s. And Saul Alinsky's book, when he was in jail, he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. And in that book, he spelled some things out. But he dedicated the book to somebody. And this, it didn't start with Saul Alinsky. He just was able to define how this happens. And he says, I'm going to dedicate this book to the first one that used these techniques, basically, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he got his own kingdom. And he says, Lucifer. And we have that for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and see it. You need to see it. Don't take our word for it. Look at it. I mean, I ordered the book because, you have to. I read these books. I look at them. I don't just hear somebody's opinion. Right. And I could tell. Now, we also ordered some big roll of heavy paper or something. They chunked that book in that big old thing and it had it all beat to death, thinking like these are radicals. I'm like, you can't just have an opinion because you heard something. You need to read it. Maybe if it's accurate, what you're saying, then now you actually have a source. And you can say, this is what's going on. And I was shocked for two things. The first thing I was shocked about was it's dedicated to Lucifer. Hmm. Said that he was the first one that used these tactics, and he got his own kingdom. Yeah, he got thrown out of heaven. He organized one-third of the angels using these Alinsky-type tactics, or which Saul Alinsky writes about in Rules for Radicals. He's saying he used these in the face of God, and he organized one-third of the angels around himself and got them to thrown out of heaven. That wasn't a good outcome, by the way. And he will have and that's why we say, when you look at the series, we have a series of prophetic understanding about this. Okay, that's the dark side. What's the light side? What does God say about this? It's called, Are They Using Lucifer Tactics to Organize the World? And somebody says, well, I can't believe you would just say that. It's like, that's what it says. It says this book is dedicated to Lucifer. And then you find out on the back cover of that book, I believe it's the Chicago Tribune they're quoting, but I don't have it in front of me, that it talks about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who were mentored by Saul Alinsky. And so this is very relevant. It's very relevant. There's nothing new under the sun, but we need to understand what's going on. For example, Islam had been around for quite some time. Radical Islam had been around for quite some time, but it wasn't, I believe, Thomas Jefferson said, print the Quran and hand it out, mm-hmm. so we can read the Quran and find out what's coming against us here. Because the word leatherneck for a Marine did not come because he was tough. They put leather bands around the Marines' necks so that their heads wouldn't be cut off in time of battle. That's why they were called leathernecks, because the first international war, I believe, and the historians could let me know if this is actual, the sources on this, the first one we had to fight in America reluctantly was a war against radical Islam. We had to send our troops out to be able to deal with it because they were attacking our trade routes and all the things that are going on. And so they put leather straps around their necks. And read the Quran. We have it. As a matter of fact, just to help you out, on the VFN Torch, we have the Bible and the Quran side by side. And it says, put the sword to the neck of the infidel. In other words, smite the neck of the infidel. Mm-hmm. Cut the head off of the infidel. And in some areas of that. And so that's where leatherneck comes from, just so you know that. So now we're looking like, when you look at some of the things we talked about in a previous program about what's happening with the Palestinians and why is Fatah and Hamas coming together in regards to beginning to have a Palestinian state trying to, and in Israel, we talked about a tumor and that type of thing, which, by the way, that needs to be titled tumor somewhere in there, because I hadn't seen tumor. You need to understand that for what it is. And so here we are in the context of we are being organized right now. I feel like we're about to crank up an entire notch now in regards to focusing on the particular rule for radical, rules for radicals about organizing people around something as common as pollution. And then you can easily move into the next thing, political pollution and to Pentagon pollution, which means this, armed forces pollution, armed forces pollution, which, you know, the nation's screaming right now about, you know, why did we trade five Taliban warriors reportedly from Gitmo for one alleged soldier who abandoned and left the troops on the field to go find the Taliban, whose lives were lost trying to find him. This is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You can find out more about it at the VFN Torch. You know, the sources we're quoting is them, not ourselves. We don't know this ourselves, but we're hearing what the sailors, they said they could, the soldiers were saying, we were told that we can't say anything while he's in captivity, but now he's out, they're all just talking. And they're offended because people died because he abandoned them on the field. Treason. What's it called? Treason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allegedly. And so here we are. It's like this thing is shifting. We got to pay attention. There's an area to pray. What is the area to pray? Pray that the church would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Take a little time away from all the entertainment and begin to educate yourself. Educate yourself. Go to VFNTV.com and begin to listen to the entire series. You can actually listen to it at one earbud while you're at work and listen to all 13 rules for radicals, the dark side, and then look at the light side. What does God say about that? Because we don't need to react like most people do. Most people just follow like a bull with a ring in their nose. They just kind of get led around every time these techniques are used. But if you sit back and begin to hear what's going on, there's a biblical perspective of how to respond to every one of these things. There's a light perspective. And so the people, which that's why this series is called Organizers of the Night versus Organizer, Jesus, of the Day. And Saul, remember Saul, the apostle, he was a organizer of darkness until he met the light. And then he turned his life around and became organized by the organizer himself, Jesus Christ. And he put his skills to work and submitted them to the Lord. And he began to organize the church under the leadership of Jesus Christ. So he went from being an organizer like we're seeing today to all of a sudden on the road to Damascus, when he met the light, he realized it was been all wrong. I should have not organized everybody against the church. I shouldn't have organized them against Stephen and having him stoned. I shouldn't have had everybody go into their houses and pull these Christians out. You know why? Because he met Jesus, which encourages this. And we're about to go to break. Which just encourages to remember to pray for these Sauls, pray for these organizers, mm-hmm. that they would see the light, mm-hmm. pray that they would have a road to Damascus experience, an encounter with God. And suddenly organizers of the night will be just like the apostle Saul and become Apostle Paul and become an organizer organized by the light.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your... You know, and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith.
says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing it. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Big and a beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know, but seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful. Yeah, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
He's
got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you for the list, Ian.
Welcome to Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. Glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
I forgot,
for
really? You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are talking at this moment about Sergeant Andrew, I can't pronounce his last name, but it's Tamor Resi, that's in a Mexican jail as we speak, and my heart just goes out to him. Unless you lived on a border, you don't understand. I mean, you don't think about it when you're going from state to state or county to county, but that's when you live on a border. That's how close you are to another country. Mm-hmm. And the reports are that he was going, he just had been in Mexico. He left his truck in America, and he was coming back to America because he didn't want to stay in America, in Mexico. And so he comes back and gets in his truck in America, but he takes a wrong turn on a highway and ends up in Mexico. And as a matter of fact, he calls 911 for help. And you got to hear this 911 call. This is Sergeant Andrew, a Marine who he just came back from the battlefields. He's one of us. I mean, he stood up for us. And this is his 911 call to the country he fought for. I want you to listen to this.
30. 911 emergency.
Hi, I'm having a little bit of an emergency here.
What's going on?
Hello, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. What is the address of the emergency?
Okay, I'm at the border of Mexico right now. My problem is I crossed the border by accident, and I have 3 guns in my truck, and they're trying to take my guns from me.
So you're in Mexico?
Yeah.
There's nothing I can help you with then, sir. I do apologize. You're not on American soil anymore. I can't really help you.
I don't know if I'm really on the. I'm not sure if I crossed. Yeah, I guess.
Well, is it Mexican authorities that are talking to you,
yeah,
or is it U.S. that you're in Mexico?
So they have the right to just take my gun.
Well, there's a huge sign that says it is illegal to enter Mexico with guns when you're driving down the 805 and the 5 freeways.
Okay.
Okay, so there are warning signs that do state that as you're driving down the freeway before you enter Mexico.
Yeah, I was hoping that there would be a turnaround point, but there never was.
There's a turnaround point before you get across the border.
Yeah, but not where I was. There was no turnaround point.
Well, then that means you were way far down then if you already passed it, if you didn't see the turnaround point. So, yeah, there's unfortunately you're on Mexican soil. There's nothing we can do.
Okay.
All right. I apologize.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Dear God, have mercy on us. This is not some... This is a Marine. He made a phone call. It's like, you're not on American soil. He wasn't on American soil when he was fighting for America.
That's right.
He's a citizen of the country. His voice is calm. He's explaining. He has legal guns in his truck. He's explaining, I got on this road. And immediately, the first thing she says is, there's nothing we can do for you. While we just went and rescued this guy from who was openly speaking things out, reportedly on his and his father as well. We're leaving him there right now. This Marine, as we speak, the Sergeant Andrew, I think it's Tamoresi, it's T-A-H, we're going to put it up for you. It's T-A-H-M-O-O-R-E-S-S-I, is sitting there right now. Did you hear his voice? That's your son, ma'am. That's your son, sir. That's your brother. That's your sister. That's your fellow citizen. And we told him, he called 911. And he's just saying, and why is he so calm? Because he didn't break any laws. Mm-hmm. He just took a wrong turn. And we have to understand, we've just left him there. He's there right now. And so he had a chance on the blaze. He had a chance to be able to, his mother calling him sometime later. I want you to hear in his own words, because she three-wayed him in. And you got to hear him telling his own story. Listen up.
Welcome to the program. It was 63 days ago that one of our heroes, one of the guys who has been fighting wars for us, was in San Diego. He had gone to San Diego to be able to get some medical help. He went to get this medical help. He was living out of his truck. He was going to go meet some friends at night. He gets into his truck. He's in a parking lot right on the Mexican border. It's at night. He makes one wrong turn. He doesn't really know where he's going, makes one wrong turn, and all of a sudden he's dumped into the line to get across the border. He calls 911 and says, hey, I think that I'm in trouble here. I've got guns. I've got all my stuff. I've got guns in the back of my truck, and I think they're going to take him. I think they're going to take the guns. Is there anything I can do to stop him? Nope. But what he didn't see coming is they arrested him and they put him in a maximum security prison. He was about to be killed. He was afraid he was going to be killed because these prisons are notorious. And he escaped not from the prison, but to a safer part of the prison where he stayed shackled. What was it, 30 days or 40 days? 30 days shackled, all 4 points, chained to a bed. As the president makes a prisoner exchange, of course, not a hostage release, a prisoner exchange, we have Sergeant Andrew Tamoresi still in jail in Mexico. We have released 60,000 Mexicans onto the streets, emptied our jails, and yet he is still sitting there, and nobody's even talking about it. For the first time, we have him on radio now from his jail in Mexico, and his mom is also on the phone. She's kind of conference called us and put us together. Jill, are you there?
Yes, Glenn.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in. Really optimistic with Andrew's new legal team.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we thank you for allowing us to hone in here on your mom time. But we have Andrew on the phone. Andrew?
Yes, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Can you tell us what happened in your own words?
In my own words, I was spending the day in Mexico, and I was hanging out, having some good food, and walking around, and I was thinking about staying the night in Mexico. I got a hotel in Mexico. And decided that it wasn't a very nice hotel. It was dark and a little dirty. So I decided to go back to San Diego and be back with my friends because I was missing my friends. So I get a taxi cab to the border. I cross the border and I walk over to the parking lot where my truck is. And I get in my truck and I exit the parking lot. I make a left-hand turn followed by another left-hand turn that there was a road there that I got on that looked like it headed north back to San Diego, back to I-5 north.
And I got on that road, and it happened that it turned, did a U-turn to the right, a swooping U-turn to the right, and took me back on I-5 South heading to Mexico. So I was driving nice and slow looking for a place to do a U-turn, but I couldn't find one. So that road took me maybe like another half mile down south to Mexico. And I get to the gate that was the Mexican border that I wasn't even sure if it was the Mexican border at the time. I figured it was, but I wasn't positive. And there was a lady sitting like three gates over to my left, and I stop at the gate, and I wave to her to try to get her attention to tell her that I don't want to be in Mexico. But she waves me in, like, you know, commanding me to go, go, come on, let's go. So I follow her orders, and I go. I did hesitate. I got a green light. The gate went up. I hesitated for, like, maybe 10, 15 seconds because I didn't want to be in Mexico. So once she ordered me in, there was three police officers, border police officers, at a inspection table.
Oh, my goodness. We're coming to the end of today's program. Understand, you got to stay with us. We're gonna revisit this. This is, we're gonna dedicate our next program to this, to Sergeant Andrew. Who have we become? Who are we as a nation? Who are we? Who are we? We as Christians, we got to ask ourselves, who are we? What are we saying? What are we doing? Are we rescuing the Taliban and not even rescuing our own soldiers? Make sure you join us in the next program. You'll actually hear this entire report from Sergeant Andrew's voice himself and more.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, it's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.